Good evening. My name is Denise Buckley, and I have to start off with a confession. First is a little bit of background. As Mary said, I was supposed to give this talk last month, and when giving Ladies' Night talks, we have to have everything in by the Friday before so that the PowerPoint's ready and that sort of thing. And I had my talk done a few days before that, so actually that weekend before. And though it was done, I knew it wasn't quite right. And on Tuesday night of that week, a friend of mine, Lisa, who's actually here tonight, said, hey, I'll come over and I'll listen to it. And I took her up on that offer. And when she suggested that I rethink it, I just knew she was right. Like in my gut, I just knew that my talk wasn't ready. And I have to admit, at that moment, my talk on freedom felt a little bit like bondage, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And the reason I knew that God was nudging me to redo it is because I didn't panic. I had only 3 days to rework it and to redo the PowerPoint, but this very type A, ducks in a row person didn't panic. So I knew it had to be God. But here's the confession part. Though I trusted God and got to work on changing my talk, I may have perhaps just said a little bit of prayer that maybe there would be a snow day. But guys, I'm an educator. Snow day prayers are like part of my DNA. I couldn't help it. So I didn't really mean it, but I think it was my fault that we had a snow day last month. And God is so good, not because of the snow day, because my talk was ready, but because he did in this past month give me just a few finishing touches about tonight's talk. And I'm really excited to share this message about God's freedom with you. When Mary and Jeannie shared the list of topics for our Empowered series this past summer, I immediately jumped on the topic of freedom. I had just read this great quote, and I was totally taken by its wisdom. Oz Guinness says, "An endless proliferation of trivial and unworthy choices is not freedom, but slavery by another name." Freedom is not the permission to do what we like, but the power to do what we should. And I love this idea. What we feel is freedom, the ability to do whatever we want, or maybe to eat whatever we want, or to say whatever we want whenever we want to say it, that's not freedom at all. Freedom is the power to do what we should do. And I thought this idea was so liberating. I loved it. I embraced it. And I asked God, give me the power to do what I should do. It was a great idea to think about, and I did so for several weeks. Eventually, however, that word should started messing with me. I don't know if you've ever heard of the phrase, don't should on yourself. Well, I'm a shoulder. I worry way too much about what I should be doing. What should I do to please God? What should I do to be a good wife? What should I be doing to be a good mom? What should I be doing to do my job well? And I can get totally overwhelmed by that word should. And that leads to unrest and stress, and that sure doesn't feel like freedom. So dropping the should, I went back to God and I asked him to show me another angle of what his freedom means. And I read these two familiar verses. First, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And next, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I spent time pondering these two verses because they seem to suggest both a release and a gifting. What does the Son set me free from? And what does the truth set me free to? I spent a lot of time thinking about those two words, from and to. Does anybody know what those words are? What part of speech? Prepositions. I heard someone whisper it. Like I said, I was an English teacher, and so I found myself totally embracing these two little prepositions, from and to. From and to have helped me wrap my brain around the freedom that God gives us as believers. So first of all, God sets us free from sin. We have freedom from sin and freedom to obey. We no longer need to be a slave to our sinful desires. Instead, we are given both forgiveness and through the Holy Spirit, the power to choose a better way, just like Oz Guinness said we did. We still mess up, but we are not controlled by our sin. Instead, we have His Spirit, which allows us to obey and to follow and to avoid temptation. So we have freedom from sin and freedom to obey. We also have freedom from condemnation and freedom to reject judgment. We have freedom from condemnation. Jesus said so, and Paul reiterated it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I don't know about you, but I find terrific freedom in those words. My shoulding is just a form of condemnation, reminding myself of what I should be, but what I'm not. It is believing that I am not good enough and that I'm charged as a failure. But Jesus tells me that I am free from condemnation. I don't need to listen to those lies, those that I tell myself or those that others tell me. Instead, I am free to reject judgment. Jesus says, I am not condemned. I am a free woman. This next one is really good news. We are free from death, and we are free to eternal life. I love forcing myself to really understand this. Because you see, I can hardly go a moment without sinning. I sin by something I think, or something I say, or something I do, or something that I don't do. And what I deserve because of my sin is death, because the wages of sin is death. But remember, we are free from sin. We are free from condemnation, and so that means we are also free from death. Death is the price of sin, but as believers, we do not need to pay that price. Christ already did. Death does not win with us, life does. In Christ, we are free from death and free to eternal life. But it gets even better than that. We have freedom from the grave, and we have freedom to live with Him. We are free to eternal life with Him, free from a grave, and free to be with Him. Jesus tells us in John 14, verses 2 and 3, My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. I wanted to talk about this a little bit, because recently I got a different view of what this meant. My son went to Israel in May and brought back a couple pictures. This one is of a town in Israel. I'm not sure which one, but these are modern houses that people live in there. And you can see that they're beautiful and they are huge. And the reason they're huge is because the family, like the nuclear family, would live in the bottom level, and then when a son or daughter got married, they would just build another level, or they'd add another room to it. I think this is a marvelous idea. How awesome. The whole family gets to live together forever. I'm trying to tell my kids that. They're not engaged or dating or married, but I think this is a great idea that perhaps they should embrace. This second picture is from the city of Capernaum, and the tour guide told my son that this is very much like the house that Peter's mother-in-law would have lived in. And Jesus and his disciples spent a lot of time there. And you can see that it's really just these stone walls of rooms all attached to each other. And so as people got married, as families grew, they would just add on another room. You can kind of see a hallway if you kind of look in the middle of the picture. But this is what Christ's listeners would have thought about when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. They would have realized that what he said is, I'm not building you a mansion on a street of gold, and I don't know heaven theology. So maybe there are mansions, and maybe there are streets of gold, but what I think Jesus is telling us is I'm adding a room onto my house for you. Christ's listeners would have known that. They would have known that he was saying, you're part of my family, and you get to have a room in my house, because he builds a room just for us. We are free to live in God's house with him. That's what our eternal life is. And why does God give believers these freedoms? Why does he prepare a place for us? Why does he have a room in his house with your name on the door? Because he loves you. Freedom is believing that truth as well. Freedom is believing that God loves you just as you are, and freedom is believing that we are who God says we are. And who does God say we are? God says that we are his beloved children. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are gifted. We are unique, and he knows each one of us intimately, even numbering the hairs on our head. I recently read the book of Job, and part of God's message in that book is, I know what I'm doing. And he knew what he was doing when he created you, and he did it on purpose. My friend Mindy York once pointed out in a Bible study that freedom is simply being who you were made to be, or being who God made you to be. If we believe that, then we realize that we are also free from comparison. And let me repeat that, because I think as women we struggle with this. We are free from comparison. You see, when God made each of us, he didn't make us better or worse. He did not create Jeannie McElroy and say, I'm going to make her a little better than so-and-so, but a little worse than so-and-so. So she always has this game where she doesn't really know who she is. And today his purpose is for her to be in balmy South Dakota. But no, God just made Jeannie. He had a design for his precious, unique daughter, and that is what he made. And that is what he did for each of us as well. And he did it on purpose. A few weeks ago, I received a prayer request from a friend of mine who is going to be attending a huge convention, mostly with other women. And she knew that she might be tempted to judge herself in comparison to others, and so she asked our group to pray that she would remember that her identity is in Christ and who he says that she is. Not one woman on that group had to ask her to explain what she meant by that. We all understood that feeling of comparison and the need to rest in and find joy in the person that God made us to be. He gives us freedom from comparison and freedom to embrace and enjoy who we are. Jesus wants us to believe him and to trust that we are who he says we are. And ladies, we need to embrace this freedom now. Not when we are more mature, not when we lose 10 pounds, not when we go a whole week without yelling at the kids, not when our relationships are perfect, not when we get our acts together. We need to do it now. We honor God when we believe what he says about us. It is actually a form of worship. Mary Cassian wrote a Bible study I did recently, and in it she reminds us that each created thing praises God by fulfilling his purpose for it. We praise God when we embrace who he has made us to be. When Lisa heard my talk and challenged me to rethink it, she asked me one question. She said, "What did I most want my audience to know about God's freedom?" He gives us freedom from so many things, from negative thinking, from addiction, from chaos, from anxiety, from weakness, from worldly living. The list goes on. But tonight, I most wanted you to know that he gives you the freedom to be you. I am not perfect at this. I need to fight for my freedom every day. In fact, sitting right there when Mary said people were going to get really dressed up for the gala, I got super nervous because I've already signed up and I don't like dressing up like that. And I had to remind myself, you're free to be who God made you to be. It's okay. But I need to fight for that freedom every day. I have a friend who went to a Christian counselor who told her something that at first sounds super offensive, but when you think about it, it has a ton of freedom. He said to her, "To God, you are not special, but you are precious. I am not more special than anybody in this room, and nor are you. But we are precious to the one who made us. We are not perfect, and God doesn't expect our perfection, but we are precious. We are precious to the God who made us." I need to fight to believe that freedom every day, and I encourage you to fight for that freedom as well. Believe that you are precious to him. Through Jesus, God made us free from sin, free from condemnation, and free from death, so that we might be free to believe what he says about us. Fight to believe that you are who God says you are. I want to give you a visual about what this looks like. This is a picture of my son, Gary. He just turned 22, and he'll graduate from college here in a couple months. And Gary played soccer year-round from the time he was 4 until the time he went to college. And that meant a whole lot of time on the sidelines for me, cheering him on. And I learned a lot from watching my son play soccer. I learned that it is really hard to keep your mouth shut when the ref makes a bad call. I learned that it is easy for me to lose my Christian character if I sit too close to the opponents and hear their taunts. And I learned that what I say during a game can absolutely shock a calm Denise. And I learned that my son can hear me from the sidelines when I yell at the ref or when I'm cheering him on. As the years went by, my son nicknamed me his biggest fan. He knew the times I blew it, but he also knew that I was really proud of him and would be there on the sideline cheering him on through sun and rain, wins and losses. After all, I was his biggest fan. And that is how it is for us. God is your biggest fan. He made you, and he is cheering for you. He wants you to walk in freedom, knowing that he loves you, he made you, and he has a purpose for you. He sees your losses, and he keeps on cheering. He sees your wins, and he keeps on cheering. He calls you to freedom, and when you step out in that freedom, he cheers. God really wants you to believe that you are who he says you are. I've been singing a new song by Hillsong for several weeks, and when I was belting it out in our kitchen recently, my 8-year-old said, "Mom, why do you keep singing that song?" And I told her, I said, "Honey, I'm giving a talk at church, and that song is part of my talk." And she got a super nervous look on her face and said, "Mom, you are not going to sing to them, are you?" She was embracing her freedom, to be honest with me. "Kim, you never have to worry about losing your job. I'm never, never going to be taking your place." But I want us to end tonight by singing Hillsong's song together. Because when we embrace our freedom and when we believe who God says we are, our best response is to praise him for that. Our best response is to worship him for the freedom that he gives us. So let's worship him. Actually, Brady, turn my mic off first. And then let's worship him by singing this song. It is called "Who You Say I Am."
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.